I think kids are ready for it. They just have to pay attention. Most people just don't pay attention, either because they think everything's hopeless. I mean, it's kind of driven into your heads that everything is hopeless. There's nothing you can do. The powers are too great, you know. And in fact, the sense of hopelessness in the country is astonishing. So, for example, if you look at polls, over half the population thinks that Congress ought to be totally thrown out and replaced by your neighbors. You know, they'll do a better job. Approval of Congress is in single digits. Nobody thinks I can do anything about it. It's like these peasants in Brazil, you know. How can somebody like me do anything about it? In fact, you take a look at some of the, take say the 9/11 movement, which is kind of interesting, not the content, but just the phenomenon. You know, the Bush blew up World Trade Center, that kind of thing. It appeals to, I mean, it has a sympathy at least of, I forget the numbers, I think it's about a third of the population, a huge part of the population. That means that a large part of the population is willing to accept the possibility that we're run by a bunch of homicidal maniacs who are trying to murder us all, but they don't think they can do anything about it. So they don't lift a finger to do anything. Okay, that's the way it is. We'll kind of hide in the corner and wait till it happens. But when people are kind of, I mean, what, some of the most effective kinds of propaganda are the kinds that allow you to see what's going on. So you see 99%, 1%, but to feel, I can't do anything about it. I'm isolated, alone. I don't talk to anybody. People like me can't do anything. We just have to suffer and bear. That's really effective propaganda. I mean, that's the way, that's how slavery could last forever without many slave rebellions. It's how women were oppressed. So like take, say, my grandmother's generation. If my grandmother had been asked if she's oppressed, she wouldn't have even known what you're talking about. That's life. You know, women are doormats. That's life. You get to my mother's generations, still plenty of oppression, but and she was bitter about it, but she didn't think you could do anything about it. By the time you get to today, it's quite different. It's very much like the peasants in Brazil or the indigenous people in Bolivia or the blacks in the South after the early days of the civil rights movement. Yeah, we can do something about it. Even if it's brutal and harsh and we might get killed, we can do something. You know? And it's that transition is very, and I think when you get back to your question, for a lot of young people, I think it's, you know, it's called apathy, but I suspect it's more hopelessness, powerlessness. And people can learn you're not powerless. Just take a look at what's been done. Take a look at what other people have done under much harsher conditions than you'll ever face. And what's been done right here in your own country. The 60s really did civilize the country. I mean, it's a very different country from what it was in 1960. And it's mainly young people who just didn't give up, didn't feel, okay, we can't do anything. Actually, sometimes it's kind of dramatic. Like for years, what's called McCarthyism, which did intimidate people tremendously. I remember I lived through it. And people were just scared out of their wits. They couldn't do anything. The House Un-American Activities Committee, if people were called, they just trembled in fear, what can you do? But in the 1960s, people like Abby Hoffman started just making fun of them. And they collapsed, you know. It's a very thin structure of power. I mean, as soon as you submit it to ridicule or you dismiss it, it can collapse. And this has been understood for centuries. So you go back to, say, David Hume, who was one of the great founders of classical liberalism, a great philosopher. But he wrote a book that he called, I think it was called The Foundations of the Theory of Government or something like that. And in it, he poses a kind of a paradox. He says in every society, whether it's you know, the feudal dictatorship, military dictatorship, semi-parliamentary system like England, whatever it is. He says power is always in the hands of the governed, those who are being ruled. Power is always in their hands. So how come they just don't overthrow the rulers and take things for themselves? He says, well, the secret, he says, always, every society is control of opinion and attitudes. If you can convince people, if the powerful can convince people, you have to stay in your slot. That's where you belong. And that's, you know, that's your role in life. There's nothing to be changed. Then the rulers can control them. Now you take a look at the history of revolutions, significant changes. It's when people broke out of that. So not long before Hume, and he may have had this in mind in England a century before, there was a major conflict between Parliament and the King. The Parliament is basically the bourgeoisie and, you know, landowners and so on. It wasn't the general population. And the question is the King above the law? King Charles insisted that he was above the law. The Parliament, led by jurists and others, was saying, no, Magna Carta determined that the King is subject to the law, at that time, the nobles, the Parliament. And there was a real major conflict about it. In fact, later led to a brutal civil war. But the Parliament stuck it out and compelled the King to sign something conceding that he was not above the law. At that time, the King was regarded as a representative of God, and you didn't fiddle around with God. You know, that's serious business. It was essentially standing up against a kind of divine authority, not our society. That meant something then. And to break through that was very difficult, but they did.
Days are. Thomas Paine podcast, Paine in the Morning. We kicked off prophetic words from Noam Chomsky. And we're going to talk about some of that. Well, I mean, it dovetails with some of the themes that we talk about here on every day, whether direct or indirect. I've been telling folks privately and on here, don't pay attention to these people in D.C. They have no dominion over you. They're jokers. They're failures in life. They wouldn't be working for the government if they knew or had any chops whatsoever. They have no chops. They're failures. They're mediocre at best. Congress is a disgrace. It's just, live your life. You love your country? Great. But your new country is you and your crew and your family. That's your country. That's what you can control. Don't let these people have any dominion over you. They're showing up at your door, asking if you want a shot. Get the hell out of here. You're not allowed to be here. You're trespassing. Get out of here. Have you horsewhipped, you vagabond? You have no dominion over me. I pay my fee. Go away. If you want to get radical, maybe you could re-examine those fees that you're paying and revisit if that's something that's prudent at this point. Taxation without representation, that's another subject. As Chomsky says, the line between powers is thin. Power and ridicule. That's why I have so much fun making fun of these people. They're morons. We have a president of the United States, so-called president of the United States, last night on television. He sounded like a babbling child who was exhausted at the end of the day and just babbling before he or she fell asleep at the table and their face went right into the mashed potatoes. This is the president, supposedly. The president in the White House, they're not in charge of anything. They're puppets. The very fact that they put this guy in office, they placed him in office. And they cheated to do so. We know that. In front of the world, standing up here babbling. The Wilmington hillbillies, the Bidens, they have no shame. If anybody in his kooky, crazy, wacky, corrupt family cared about him, they'd yank him off the stage. That's it. That's it. We're done. Start building the stupid presidential library and right outside. And pick any ghetto in Wilmington. Build it there and he's done. Bring in the casting couch broad. She can be the puppet for the next X amount of years. They're puppets. Listen to what Chomsky says. Play it again. You don't think you can make a difference? The first greatest thing, I think, in my opinion, and what we've been telling our folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit, and on our new platform. It's very simple. Chart your course away from these people. Don't pay any attention to them. Don't get upset about what they say. Rise above it, 30,000 feet. Out of body. Out of body. And understand that if these folks out there want to listen to these people and want to be ruled by these people, that's fine. That's more of an opportunity for you and your crew and your loved ones to circumnavigate these criminals. And you do that by not taking them seriously. Now, what do you do, right, when it comes to their dystopian rules and things like that? Don't listen. Don't listen. What are they going to do about it? If enough people out here, you heard the man, Chomsky, and that was recorded in 2012 at MIT. 2012. What would he say now? Same thing. He'd say the same thing. You're not powerless. You only give them power by listening to them and respecting what they say. Don't respect what they say. We figured this out. I know a lot of you guys didn't figure it out because you were a bunch of brown-nosing kiss-asses in school. But while you guys were kissing ass and being good little boys and girls, there was another group that I was always part of, usually a leader, dubbed a ringleader, said, fuck you. Half the stuff you're saying doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to listen to it. And what are you going to do about it? Well, it's going to go on my permanent record? Good. What permanent record? I make my own record. I don't need your stupid record. Whatever scheme you're selling, it's going to go on your permanent record. This is your government now. Just not the United States. We've talked about UK. We've talked about Australia. The things that are going on in Australia, right? You fucking people in Australia, don't listen. Don't listen to these people. There's so many more of you than there are of them. Just say, fuck off. Do something about it. Grow a pair. You're waiting for somebody to save you. Go look in the mirror. That's who's going to save you. What kind of example are you giving your kids and your grandkids laying down for these fucking tyrants? Seriously. Oh, rising up is hard? Stay on your knees then. See how that works out for you. I've been kicking ass my whole life. Rising up. Getting in people's faces. I get beat down, I get the fuck back up. Okay. All right, you won. You got a couple blows in. Now we're going to go again. You know, you want to get to the point where these people say, these people are crazy. Yeah, we are. Because you keep taking from us. You're thieves. Listen to what Chomsky said. Make fun of these people. They're dummies. Look at the whole country's asleep. The whole country's asleep. This guy is a disgrace. The entire political system in this country is a disgrace. They lie to you every day. The media lies to you. You keep watching them. The CDC lies to you every day. You listen to what they say about masks and things like that. What? Say fuck off. No, we're not doing it, period. Do something about it. These wimps aren't going to do anything about it. They're cowards. That's why they went into politics. They have no balls. People who go into politics, I'm not just talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the whole fucking apparatus. The aides, the consultants, the lobbyists. You have no balls. You couldn't cut it. You couldn't make your way, climb your way up the ladder in the private sector. You took the easy way out. These guys have been taking the easy way out their whole life. It's rigged for them. They don't know what hard is. You know what hard is. You know what hard is to me? Hard is when you don't have fucking... You don't... There's so many things hard. It really is growing up hard. One of the things that sticks out when somebody says hard, right? Hard is paying that Ivy League tuition, bro. That's hard. No, hard is when you got a family and you got $25 in the bank for the week and you got to feed your family and pay for everything else that might happen and pray there's no fucking emergency. That's hard. And guess what? The next week, you got to do it all over again with not a lot of scratch. That's fucking hard, man. These people don't know hard. They're the ones responsible for you down here struggling, man. I'm wrong. Convince me I'm wrong. Did you folks grow up in poverty? I did. I understand. I have a 360-degree view of the whole thing. I understand what they do and how they do it and how impossible it is to escape. And people feel helpless, like Chomsky said. Yeah, they do. That doesn't mean you are. The whole fucking... I've said this before and recently, and it's raised a lot of eyebrows. You're a slave. You're a fucking slave, man. You just don't see it. You think that slavery has something to do with your skin color. It has to do with your passport. You were born into slavery. Whatever country you're in. And you must be happy with it. You must be happy with it. Because you haven't done dick about it. It's rigged against you. There's no way. For the most part, there are outliers. There's no way you can break out. Unless you do something about it. Unless you do something about it. The whole thing was set up to keep you down. And if you have made some progress and you have hustled and done better than your great-grandparents, better than your grandparents, better than your parents, etc., well, we'll just strip away some of your wealth, if not all of it. Kick you back down. See what you're made of. I've said it before. Put you in the same position of your ancestors when they stepped off the boat with nothing. Yeah, let's see. And we'll take that money and we'll kick it upstairs to the plantation owners. And people take offense to that. I have some of my African-American friends say, I can't believe you would compare that to slavery. What's going on? I said, you of all people should understand what the fuck slavery is. How are you not a slave right now? You think you're free? You can't even say on the internet, you can't say vaccine. You can't say COVID-19. You can't say any of it. Are you free? Come on. You're listening to these pissants and they have dominion over your life. You're giving them power. You're empowering them. One of the things you learned as a parent, maybe some of you folks haven't learned. I've seen your kids in public. I can attest that you haven't learned. One of the things you do as a parent, you learn very quickly. Breathe in the air. Pink Floyd, that's number one. Breathe as a parent. Number two, kids tugging on your shirt. Daddy, 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 I want to. You don't pay any attention to the kid. If he keeps pestering you, every time you pay attention to that kid, when he or she acts up, you empower them to keep bugging you and for them to keep acting up so they can get what they want. You ice them, don't pay any attention to them. They don't act that way anymore. They understand, well, when I act like a jerk and I keep tugging the shirt or I keep yapping in a restaurant or anywhere else, I'm not going to get what I want, so I might as well chill out. And do it another way. That's what you need to do to the government. They're tugging on your shirt, showing up at your door. Get the fuck out. Get out of here. Beat it. You don't run me. You don't run me. Depending on your faith, right? Who runs you? Who do you answer to? I answer to somebody much higher than these. These people are pissants. They're nobodies. More people have to say, fuck off. Not listening to you. Your kids have to go to school and wear a mask only because you allow it. Only because you allow it. That's on you. The buck stops with you as a parent. What are we supposed to do? Tell them not to wear the mask. Tell them to take the mask off. What's going to happen? I mean, maybe it's not the best example, but what are you supposed to do? Sue your school board. My kid's got to wear a mask. Okay. Guess what? Oh, he can't come to school. Guess what? Give me my money back. I want my school money back. All the money you bleed me every month, I want it back. You're going to have to stand up. You understand this? Or are you going to go down the tubes? Simple as that. Listen to that again, Chomsky. I wanted to open up with it. It's very prophetic. Why are you listening to these people? I stopped listening to them, I told you guys, months ago. I love covering the news. I love analyzing it. And I love laughing at these people. I get a lot of people saying, why do you laugh all the time? It's macabre. No, it's not. It's fucking therapeutic. They're stupid people. They're weak people. Their ideas are they border on insanity and cross into the realm of the insane. Why would we? Why are you listening to these people? Why are they your leaders? You should be your own leader. Your family should be your country. I've said this before to our subscribers. I think we've done a good job of trying to guide them and trying to break them out of this fucking zombie apocalypse mentality. We must listen to these. Why? You're going to listen to Fauci? Look at all the people that lined up for these things. Hey, man, I know a few people. I wouldn't say I know a lot of people. I mean, we all know folks out there who are very congenial, and they have hundreds of friends and acquaintances on Facebook. I mean, hundreds or thousands, right? My inner circle is fairly small, right? But the reports that are coming in from people we know, this isn't folks on our platforms. That's a whole nother. The reports coming in from people we know, relatives and friends, close friends, saying, yeah, this guy got the shot and he's in bad shape. These guys got one shot. These ladies got two shots in it. They're all fucked up now. And the people are starting to put two and two together. You know, hey, wait a minute. I didn't have these massive health problems until I lined up for this stuff, right? The numbers that they're reporting to you can't be accurate based on a simple poll of the limited folks that we know and the number of reports that are rolling in. And then you couple that with the subscribers we have and the reports coming from people they know and their relatives, their fucking brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters who made fun of these people for not going out and listening to the government and getting the jabs. Those same people who made fun of these people now are saying, fuck, why didn't I listen to you? What the hell? The point is, you're going to listen to the government? Okay, good luck. At every move, at every single move, you should be saying, fuck you. You don't run me. You don't own me. I've paid my way. I've helped build this country. My forefathers, my relatives, my ancestors helped build this country up for nothing, right? You work for me, motherfucker. I don't work for you. I run you. You don't run me. We run you. You understand? That's how it was supposed to work. That's how it's supposed to work. They don't run us. You better break out of it. You're going to be in for a world of pain. There are people out here that we've been on our platforms. And guess what? We started on our own platform. You know why? Because I'm smart. And we're very smart. And we've been around the block. And we see things long before they quote-unquote happen. And here it is today. A bill was introduced to strip social media of protections from health misinformation. You say something the government doesn't like? You gone. And social media gets sued. And they'll probably end up suing you. Who knows how it's going to shake out if this thing passes? 4 or 5 years ago, I say this thing would never pass. Today, it's a coin toss. You're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to tell people that other people are getting hurt who get these jabs. You can't even say that. That's misinformation. There's no proof that the people you know are getting hurt from this. Oh, no. What the fuck is it? They've been healthy their entire lives. 12, 13, 14-year-olds healthy, and now they're sick. What do you think it's from? Unprotected sex. That's what it's from. I've heard it from people. Well, you know, they're promiscuous. That's a hell of a date when it inflames your heart. I've heard of teenagers having broken hearts, but not inflamed hearts. I mean, what? Don't listen. Say no. Remember Nancy Reagan? Just say no. Just say no. Fuck off. Get out of here. Should treat these guys almost like some maniac is on the street. If you've been to New York City, you've been to any major city. People walk around the street muttering incoherently, right? That should be your government to you. Be like, fucking stay away from that guy, man. That guy's crazy. That should be you. That's how you should think, right? Their job is to keep you fucking safe, number one, and provide some security to keep you safe. And that's about it. And when they start coming after you, it should be, it's on. You want to play? Okay. It's on.